Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I am joined now by Tribune political writer Paul DeMarco. Paul is the former chairman of the Jefferson County GOP and also former state senator. Paul, thank you for joining us.
Hey, Scott. Glad to be with you and your listeners on this Friday afternoon. Hope everyone is well.
I think it's a good day. I was just checking the weather, looking out this window. Man, I'm pleased with what we've got. I'd like to see a little more rain. How about you?
Yeah, I just came from outside. It's actually a little warm outside. It's, kind of back and forth. I think it's supposed to be a warm weekend. So a lot of football, a lot of going on this weekend. Yeah, so I hope everyone enjoys it.
A lot of stuff happening. There's also a lot of stuff happening on the political front. Hey, Paul, one of the things I wanted to bring up with you and just get your take on it, and I didn't warn you about this, so if you hadn't followed it closely, that's fine, but I've got a feeling you probably are keeping an eye on it. One of the big breaking stories this week out of the Birmingham area is that Birmingham Southern College has sued Young Boozer, the state treasurer, asking a court to force him to make a loan to the university to the tune of about $30 million. He has passed on that. The legislature, I apologize for that, did pass a bill giving him the discretion to do that, the opportunity to do that under his discretion. What are your thoughts about that?
I have heard it. I've actually heard from a number of folks about it as well. What's interesting is I think from the very beginning, the state treasurer, it doesn't sound like really was in favor of doing this. If you recall, he asked the attorney general for an opinion about it.
Right.
And I can't recall if that was right after it was passed. And now we're getting this. I know there was some issues. Some banks had some questions about it. You know, usually you don't see a court really want to get involved with something they feel is some sort of legislative intent or something like that,
right,
when it comes to these types of issues. So I think the question someone asked me is, if the legislature passed it, the governor signed it, what is the treasurer's take on this and why is he opposed to it? And that I have not heard, and I think that's the million-dollar question a lot of folks have asked is, what is his issue with doing this? I mean, a lot of folks had a philosophical, we don't need to be getting involved with giving money to private schools, but that's been done in the past and will be done. So it seems like it's something more there, but that's the $1 million or $30 million question as of now.
Yeah, and we should mention, Paul, this the whole concept of creating this fund for distressed colleges was actually the brainchild that was pushed by the Jefferson County delegation in Montgomery, who wanted to try to help Birmingham Southern. And I think it's important for people to know, our audience to know, that they were not all on board. They were not all on the same page with how that help should come, how it should be executed. And I talked to some that weren't comfortable getting in it with the state getting involved at all. So just to come around enough to create this legislation to at least open the door, that wasn't a given by any stretch of the imagination. From the very beginning, there were people on different pages and viewing this different ways. I've looked at the law. I went back and pulled up the act and read through it the other day, and it clearly gives the state treasurer discretion. I think those are the exact words, at the discretion of the treasurer, as to whether or not this would meet the criteria, and he determines that it's a good loan and the state should move forward with it, as we know, and we kind of jumped right over that. But he did send a letter to Birmingham Southern last week, telling them that he was not going to accept the loan or pursue the loan.
Well, my question to you, Jeff, because we've got a lot of state officials.
Well, hey, Paul, I know you spent a lot of time with Jeff Poore and I, but I'm Scott.
Oh, yeah,
and for our listeners out there, Jeff is next. He'll be up at the top of the hour. But right now, we've got Paul here.
Scott, sorry, you'll have to joke with him about that. Scott, did the treasurer say what was the reason behind? Because look at the State Department of Transportation.
Yeah.
He has a lot of discretion, and the question is, when you're giving a, you've got the authority to move forward, is you've got the discretion, but what is the rationale behind your decision? And I think that's, I've heard from some folks from Birmingham Southern, like, that's what they're trying to get to the bottom of.
Right, right.
What is the reason behind this? And I think that's, again, that's the question on the table.
Right. And again, now, I didn't, this did not come from the state treasurer. I have not talked to Young Boozer or anyone in his office. And in fact, when we were trying to just get a copy of the letter the other day, we couldn't even get a phone call in. So I'm assuming I was not, we were not the only media outlet trying to get a copy of that rejection letter. So this information does not come from directly from the state trooper's office, but I will say it comes from a very well-placed source with knowledge of what's going on. My understanding is there were several factors. I guess I should back up and also mention that the treasurer, Young Boozer, had looked at this while the legislation was being considered. He had already started looking at the situation, and he expressed concerns to legislators about whether or not this would be a good loan or a good decision for the state. So he had already seen information that raised concerns. But specifically what I'm being told is that the value that the university placed on the campus as collateral did not match up with the value placed by professional appraisers and bankers who had looked at the same thing. And it was quite a bit off. I also understand that the university, or the college, I guess I should say, already has a substantial loan with Service First Bank, which is, this is all mentioned, I think, in the legal papers that were filed in the lawsuit. They've got a substantial loan there, and a lot of what they were planning to use for collateral, Service First already has first position on that. So it kind of, you know, put Alabama second in line should things go bad and the loan not get paid. And then the value not matching up to what the university felt like their property was worth. And then there was also a factor of Birmingham Southern had presented a plan, you know, of how they would pay it back and how they envisioned things working out. And one of those, they listed an enrollment number that they anticipated, and then they came up short of that number. So those are the reasons I'm hearing from some pretty good sources that say this is what the treasurer looked at, and this is what made him uncomfortable with pursuing. I think the simple answer to all of that is he didn't think this was a good risk for the state.
Well, and let me say, look, I am not going to fuss at anybody in state government who says let's be fiscally responsible, because trust me, we got enough.
Yeah, you preached that sermon for a long time in Montgomery.
Yeah, I mean, look at where all the money being spent on talk about expanding an ABC warehouse. And
right.
We can look at some of the issues of the prisons, and we could go on and on and on and on about all the money being spent. So I don't fuss about that. I guess the question is, you know, is there a way to work this out so that the parties sit down, or is this just going to not, you know, because, again, getting a court involved, and Birmingham Southern, I guess, felt like that was their last regard.
Yeah, I think that's the way they felt, that they had nothing to lose at this point.
Yeah, this was the only way, because if the legislation gives the discretion to the treasurer, then that's the way the legislation was drafted.
All right.
And you've got intent to that legislation, and a judge would be really. And I think, don't we talk about judges who are coming in and acting as legislators, not judges?
That's right. That's right. We've got an issue. We, as conservatives, we have a real issue with judges that want to legislate from the bench. We do.
So then you go back to the legislature and say, if you indeed want them to have this money, you need to say, we're giving you $30 million. Because they've done it with, the legislature has done it with others. I mean, we can look, was it Lyman Ward? Was it Mary? I mean, you can go back and look at some other schools.
Yeah.
Was it Tuskegee? You can go back and look at some other private schools who have gotten money directly as a line item into the budget.
And I think that's kind of where they came up with the legislation they did pass, as they didn't feel like the support was there to just hand them the money. Let me put your attorney hat on, Paul, and let me share some stuff that the judge asked in a hearing earlier this week, and he's got another hearing scheduled next week. He understands the urgency, and he is moving as quickly as possible. But let me throw something that he mentioned in the hearing this week. I think this ties right into what you were just saying. One of the things the judge asked attorneys is it clear that I've got the authority to even rule on this? He is looking at the treasurer's immunity that he has from being in office. But he asked specifically, do I even have the authority to address this? He also pointed out that the legislation said the treasurer has the discretion, may exercise. And he pointed out that could have been changed to shall had the legislature wanted to force the treasurer's hand. They intentionally used the word may instead of shall. You're an attorney. How big a deal is that little word?
Well, that's when we talk about when you're down passing legislation, and that's why if a bill passes the House and it changes by one word in the Senate, it's got to go back to the House. Every word matters. Every punctuation matters.
When you were a legislator, and I apologize for interrupting, but that just really that intrigues me. When you served in the legislature, were there discussions over one word like that? I mean, did law get down to that minutia?
Well, you just used the word may and shall.
Yeah.
Look, we talked about legislation regarding the Jefferson County Commission and the county manager. Some folks said, well, let's give them the discretion to have a county manager. I'm like, no, we're going to mandate it that they have to have a county manager. We've got to change the form of government in Jefferson County. I mean, what more do we need to see? What more evidence do we need to see the system is not working? And that was a big debate about authority versus, mandate. You know, those are one of those.
Yeah, and you were very involved with that process.
That was one of the issues that was discussed with the Birmingham Waterworks Board about mandating issues regarding pay and ethics. So may and shall are two of the more important words when it comes to legislation.
Wow. So this could come down to something that simple. Paul, let's look at this from a different point of view. You've been to the Birmingham Southern Campus. I've been there. It is a beautiful campus, and it is a great school with a really great reputation. They obviously have a flawed business model because the finances certainly have not worked out, and they've teetered on the edge for quite a while. But when you look at that campus and you see where it's located, for our audience outside of the Birmingham area, this is very much in the Inslee area. It's an important part of my life and my family's history. My grandparents built their first house in Bush Hills, about three blocks from the gate. So I know the area well, and that is a beautiful campus. But in that area, if for some reason the state did loan the money, if the school could not pay it back and the school ended up closing their doors anyway because there has been declining enrollment, there's a lot of other problems. How many uses are there for that property? It's not as if it's built to just put anything in there.
No, my prediction is that it would end up being some educational facility. You know, there's already been some discussion of that.
Okay.
But look, this could have survived in that neighborhood if it had the leadership. And we know we've heard the issues with the leadership in the past that you had accounting issues, you had leadership issues about how to spend money. I mean, look over at Samford.
Right.
Samford is the gangbusters for a lot of reasons. They stayed to their mission of being a Baptist school and what they felt when it came to you look at how these universities and colleges around the country, so many of them have become cesspools.
Well,
you've got a place like Samford. This is our mission. We're not going to get bullied.
Right.
We're going to do what we
stuck with the guns.
And that means their donors support us.
Well, Samford also moved from East Lake to Lakeshore about 65 years ago, my dad was actually a student when they made the move. So, and no reason for it there, but you know, as we look back, that was certainly a good move for them. Paul, we've covered a lot of ground. We've got about 20 seconds left. I just want to ask you: is there any point you wanted to touch on before we head out?
No, there's just so much going on around the world. I hope we get go from dysfunction to some function in Washington, D.C. And I hope everybody has a good weekend.
Paul, I appreciate it. Hope you have a good weekend. We will talk again next week. I'm sure we usually do. Thank you for joining us. We're going to head to a break here in just a minute or two, and we'll come back for a pretty short segment there, and then we'll head to the top of the hour. We'll be joined at about 3:05 by the editor-in-chief of 1819 News. That is Jeff Poor. Love hearing from Jeff. He's always got an opinion and a take on everything, and he has a tendency to be pretty right on some of his guessing. But I want to cover some ground with him and see his thoughts on the way the national media has handled their jobs this week. You stay with us. I'm Scott Buttramen for Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Scott Buttram sitting in for Phil Williams today on this beautiful Friday afternoon. And guys, it is absolutely gorgeous. If you're outside listening to us, congratulations to you. We'll be joined by Jeff Poor right after the top of the hour from 1819 News. He is the editor-in-chief there. We were just talking to Paul DeMarco. Paul is the political writer for the Trustful Tribune. He is also a former state senator and former head of the Jefferson County GOP, so pretty well in touch politically, kind of knows what's going on in Montgomery. We had a good conversation regarding the situation at Birmingham Southern. For those of you who didn't catch it and may not be following that story closely this week, State Treasurer Young Boozer sent a letter to the school and told them that he was declining to issue them a loan. I think they were asking for Seems like they were asking for $16 million over the next year and possibly up to the $30 million limit that the legislature put on that loan amount that they might be able to do for distressed colleges or universities that had an issue. I also want to mention that according to the information I've received, they were not the only college that requested a loan. I don't know who the other one was, but my understanding is they were also turned down because he didn't feel they met the criteria. He turned down Birmingham Southern because he didn't feel like they met the criteria that they were a good loan risk, is I guess the simplest way to put it. And you may have seen some conversation online through social media. I've seen a lot of comments. I've seen a lot of people that are really mad about it. Most of them are Birmingham Southern graduates. And you may ask yourself, you know, why are they so emotional about this? Why are they so animated in their anger over this? And I would just say, stop and think a minute about your years in high school and college and how important they are. I think for a lot of people, they look back on that, and those were some of the most fun times of their lives, a time where they developed relationships that have lasted throughout their life, may have found a spouse in college and end up spending the rest of your life with that person. And, you know, had you not gone to school there, maybe you didn't meet them. And I understand the emotional side of this. I do. I mentioned earlier in the show that I went to a K-12 Christian school growing up and felt like I just had a great opportunity to be there. Hey, that closed down. Several years after I graduated, it closed down. And I miss not being able to go back there and renew those relationships. But the truth is, the relationships have remained. I watched my daughter-in-law, who played basketball at Montevallo. I saw her when Montevallo shut down. And that was a tough time because she had such great experiences and developed such great relationships there. So I do understand the emotion involved, and I get it when people are upset that this didn't happen. We're going to take another break. We'll be back right after the hour with Jeff Poore. You stay with us.
Hey, all you right side